Parshas B'Shalach. After hundreds of thousands of Mitzrayim had died during Machas B'Chayrais, Paro's conduct towards the Yidden changed very much. Not only did he dismiss them with kind words, but Paro himself accompanied the Yidden as they left the land of Mitzrayim. Yes, Kindalach, that's what it means, B'Shalach, Paroi es ha'am. Paroi himself was sending out the Yidden from Mitzrayim. Yes, when the time comes for the Yidden to go out of Galus, not only will the Goyim not harm the Yidden or stop the Yidden, they'll even help and send the Yidden out of Galus, just like it was when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. It was only after the Yidden left Mitzrayim that Paro realized how much he lost that the Yidden left from Mitzrayim. "Woe is to me!" shouted Paro. "I shouldn't have allowed them to leave!" Yes, Kindalach, even though Paro was first happy to send the Yidden away, but later his noblemen and ministers complained to him and they said, "What have you done, Paro? There were so many wise men and professionals among the Jews. And just imagine all the men, women, and children whose work was left unfinished because they left. Also, they asked us for gold, silver, and precious things. They took away all of our belongings. And also all those Egyptians who became Jews, the Gerim, they also took along their gold, silver, and all of their animals. They were very rich men, and now they're leaving our land." Paro then regretted that he had agreed to let the Yidden go. The Yidden left from Mitzrayim. The men were led by Moshe and Aharon, while the women were led by Moshe's sister Miriam. Now, Kinelach, when Hashem took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, they were supposed to go straight to Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem did not take them on a direct road that goes straight to Eretz Yisrael, because Hashem did not want that the Yidden should pass by the Plishtim. So Hashem led the Yidden on a winding road, which goes in a circle and goes right through the desert, the Midbar, in order that the Yidden should not pass by the place of the Plishtim. Now, Kindalach, why didn't Hashem want the Yidden to pass by the place of the Plishtim? Well, Kindalach, there are a few reasons. First of all, Hashem said, if the Plishtim will attack and start fighting with the weaker Yidden would not want to fight back. They'll just run away and want to return back to Mitzrayim. And even if the Yidden would want to fight off the Plishtim, Hashem did not want this to happen. Because, as you remember, Kindalach, from Chumash Bereishis, Avraham and Avimelech promised to each other that they will never harm each other for the next 3 generations. And Avimelech's grandchildren were still alive. That's why Hashem did not want that the Yidden should fight off the Plishtim. And therefore it was better that the Yidden don't even pass by the Plishtim. And that's why Hashem made them go around in a circle in a different way, not passing the Plishtim. Another reason, Kindalach, why Hashem didn't want the Yidden to pass through the land of Plishtim is because something that had happened to Shevet Ephraim in the land of Plishtim. This happened many years before. A large number of families from the Shevet Ephraim had left Mitzrayim 30 years before Moshe took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Yes, they thought that the time of going out of Mitzrayim was 30 years earlier. And so, Kindalach, these people from Ephraim escaped from Mitzrayim 30 years before all the Yidden have left. As they were traveling, they came to the land of Plishtim. The Plishtim came out and attacked them, and 300,000 of the family of Ephraim were killed. And, Kindalach, Their bodies were laying all over the land, and Hashem therefore did not want the Yidden to see this, in order that the Yidden should not get frightened. That's why Hashem took the Yidden through a different road, not going straight to Eretz Yisrael, but rather going like a circle around the land of Pelishtim into the Midbar. Now, Kinalach, we know why Hashem took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, in order that we shall become his servants, through learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. Now, Kinalach, when a servant has a master, we know that a servant has to work very hard. A servant has to wash and dress his master. He has to carry the master's packages. And at night, to hold a lantern that gives off light in order to light up the road for his master. But Kinalach, Hashem, in his great love for the Yidden, did not ask us to do any of these services for him. Just the opposite. Hashem gave us all of these kind of services. Hashem, first of all, gave us seven clouds of glory, Anane HaKavod. Four clouds surrounded the Yidden in all directions and was like a shelter, like a house. And then there was a cloud above them that served like a roof to protect them from the burning desert sun. And the one from below smoothed the way and killed the snakes and scorpions that were in the Midbar. And the seventh cloud traveled in front of all the Yidden to lead the way. And you know, Kinderlach, this seventh cloud at night was changed into a pillar of fire in order to shine light into their tents. During all their travelings in the Midbar, the Yidden were never hungry and never thirsty, because Hashem gave them bread from the Shamayim and caused water to spring up from a well in the earth, no matter where they were. Yes, Kinderlach, instead of us serving Hashem as a servant serves his master, Hashem gave us all of our needs. The only kind of service that Hashem wants from us is nothing else but to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs, and then Hashem will continue on to give us more and more of all the good things that we need. Yes, Hashem gives us gashmius, all of our things that we need for our body, a house, clothing, food, and all other things, and we turn it into ruchnius, into Torah and mitzvahs, by using all of our strength for doing good things, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, and helping another Yid. This reminds us of the story of Unkles the Ger. He was first a guy, then he became a Yid. Unkles is the one who wrote a Teich, a translation on the Chumash. He translated the whole Chumash into the language of his times. That was Aramaic. So the Yidden who did not understand Hebrew were now able to understand the Chumash. If you look on the side of the page of your Chumash, you'll see the Perush, the translation of Unkles. Now, Unkles was the nephew of the Roman Emperor Hadrian. One day he traveled to Eretz Yisrael and became a Ger. When the Emperor found out, he sent his troops to bring his nephew back to Rome. When the soldiers arrived, Unkles explained to them what Yidden are all about, what is Torah Mitzvahs, what is Hashem, and what is Yiddishkeit. Then all of these men became Yidden too. When the emperor heard about this, he got very upset, and he sent a second group with strict orders not to talk to Unkles about anything, just bring him back. Well, the second group came to Unkles, and they were going to force him to come back to the emperor. But on the way, Unkles said to them, "Let me just mention a point which might be interesting to you. If a group of very important people would travel together, the more simple one would hold the lantern to give light for the Duke. The Duke would hold a lantern to make light for the Prince. The Prince for the King. But did you ever hear a king who lit the way for all the people? Never! They called out. Well, God, the God of the Jews, lit the way for all the Jewish people during all their years that they were in the desert. When the soldiers heard this, they all became gerim. Yes, this is the way Hashem gave the Yidden everything that they needed. The Yidden continued on and arrived in the town of Sukkos. This is right near the Midbar, the desert. And then they continued their traveling into the desert. After they had traveled for 3 days, Hashem instructed Moshe, "Tell the Yidden that they should turn back and head towards Mitzrayim again." Yes, Kinderlach. Although the Yidden were going away from Mitzrayim, now Hashem wants them to turn around and start going back. Why did Hashem do this? This was in order to trick Paray, that he should think that the Yidden got lost in the Midbar and don't know where to go, and that's why they're coming back to Mitzrayim. And when Paray sees this, he would want to chase the Yidden. By doing this, all the Mitzrayim will finally leave Mitzrayim and come to chase the Yidden. Eventually, they will drown in the Red Sea, in the Yam Suf. This would be a punishment, midah keneged midah, a measure for a measure, for drowning the Jewish children. Now, this commandment to travel back to Mitzrayim was not an easy one for the Yidden, because they rejoiced in every step which led them further away from the land where they suffered so much. And so, the weaker ones of the Yidden were so upset that they tore their clothes and pulled their hair. Moshe calmed them down and said that it was promised by Hashem that they would remain free. Now, Kinderlach, the Amuna, the faith, the belief of the Yidden in Moshe was so strong that they didn't even argue with him. They didn't say to him, "How can we break the hearts of our children by going back to Mitzrayim?" You know what most of the Yidden said to Moshe? "All that we wish is nothing else than to listen to Moshe, the son of Amram. All we want is to listen to the words of Moshe. Whatever Moshe says, that's what we shall do." And so they turned around and began traveling backwards until they reached the place Pisaim, which now is called Pi-Hachidos. Hachidos means like the word Chedos, free, since now the Yidden are free. This was right near the sea where the Mitzrayim were drowned. Now, the Yidden were supposed to stay there, right in front of the Getchke called Baal Tzephon. If you remember, it was the only Getchke that Hashem left over when he killed out all the firstborn of Mitzrayim, during which he also destroyed all the Getchkes of Mitzrayim, except Baal Tzephon, in order that the Mitzrayim should have freedom of choice to think that the Getchke Baal Tzephon was going to save them. And then everyone will see how the Mitzrayim were drowned in the Yam Suf, and that the Getchke has no power at all. Now Paray sent along with the Yidden some Egyptian spies to make sure that the Yidden will return back to Mitzrayim after 3 days as they had promised. On the fourth day, these spies warned the Yidden, "Today you must return to Mitzrayim." And the Yidden answered, "We are free from Paray. Once we left his land, we are free to act as we please." The Egyptian spies shouted that they would soon be proven wrong. "You will be forced to return." the Yidden began beating up the spies. Some of the spies were hurt badly, and others of them were killed. The ones who stayed alive ran away quickly to Pare to tell him that the Yidden came back to the city Pisaim instead of traveling further into the Midbar. When Pare heard this, he was so happy, he called his army, and he said, "Why should the Jewish people stop in Pisaim? That's not the place that they should be if they are escaping. That's the worst place for them. Why aren't they continuing on their trip? The answer must be that they cannot continue forward because the ocean blocks their way. They must be stuck and cannot escape. Surely the wild animals are here because our Getchke Baal Tzifon is preventing the Jews from escaping." The truth was, Hashem is the one who brought the wild beasts to the outside of the camp of the Yidden. But Pare thought that this is from the Getchke. Hashem also showed Pare the Sar, the guardian angel of Mitzrayim, coming to help Pare destroy the Yidden in order to further strengthen him in his belief that the Yidden would finally return back to Mitzrayim. Pare came to the Mitzrayim and begged them that they should form an army and chase the Yidden in order to bring them back to Mitzrayim. But the Mitzrayim did not agree to Pare's plan. They lost too much until now that they do not want to start up with the Yidden again. Pare therefore used all kinds of tricks and ways of getting them to listen and to agree. Pare said to them, "You should know, I will not ride in the back of the army, as is the custom of many other kings, in order to protect themselves. In this battle, I shall ride at your head." "Why should you act in this unusual way?" the people asked him.
"Because it is not the Jews against whom my war is directed. It is against their God himself. Therefore, I shall ride at the front."
Pare also tried to convince them in other ways. Pare said to them,
"I will not take most of their belongings for myself, as kings usually do. I will divide them equally among all of you. Also, I will reward you by opening up my treasures and giving out gold, silver, pearls, and jewels. Just come along with me."
Pare didn't even let any of his servants get his chariot ready for him. He did it by himself. Pare said,
"This war is against the King of Kings. It is therefore fitting that I myself will get the chariot ready."
Hashem said, "I will give you the same honor. I will not punish you through a messenger. I will punish you myself." Pare then chose 600 of the best chariots of Mitzrayim. Also, he brought other chariots and got captains for them. In fact, it was Hashem's plan that the entire Egyptian army should chase after the Yidden so that they should all drown in the Yam Suf. Now, Kindelach, you may ask, who gave these horses to pull these chariots? Didn't all the Egyptian animals die during the Makkah of Dever and Barad? Well, you see, Kinelach, there were those Egyptians who did listen to Moshe and were afraid of Hashem, and they gathered together their horses and animals before the Barad came and hid these animals in the stables. True, not too many Egyptians listened to Moshe, but there were some who did listen, and therefore they still had some horses. And now they were ready to give these horses in order to chase after the Yidden. This shows us, Kindelach, what kind of Rishayim the Mitzrayim were, that even the best of the Mitzrayim, those who are God-fearing, were still so bad that they were ready to give their horses to chase after the Yidden, and therefore they also deserved punishment. Now, Pare's army traveled very fast. It took them only one day to travel the distance that it took the Yidden for 3 days. And Pare's spies made it in a day and a half. Yes, Hashem removed all things out of their way, out of their path, so that they would reach the Yidden without any delay. Now, while they were traveling, the Mitzrayim were cursing and saying bad words against Hashem, while the Yidden, who traveled in front of them, were singing praises to Hashem. All the Mitzrayim had one thing in mind, that was to catch up with the Yidden. What were they going to do once they catch up with the Yidden? Well, some of them wanted to rob the Yidden. Others didn't care about their money, they just wanted to kill the Yidden. While others thought that they'll first destroy them and then take their riches. Pare himself planned to destroy all the Yidden, proclaiming, "In the past, I ordered that only the Jewish baby boys be killed, but now we will wipe out all of them." The Yidden raised their eyes, and they saw the Egyptian army coming closer. And who was at the head? Pare himself. In front of the Yidden was the sea, looking sideways towards the Midbar, in hope to escape there, they noticed herds of wild beasts at the outskirts of the desert. Yes, the Yidden were surrounded from all sides. The Yidden raised their eyes to heaven, and they suddenly saw a vision of Uzzah, that is the Tsar, the protecting angel of Mitzrayim, flying over the Egyptian camp. It seems like he was sent from heaven to help the Mitzrayim. It almost looked like there was no more hope for the Yidden, Chas v'Shalom. Now, Kindelach, why did Hashem make the Yidden get frightened now? Didn't they suffer enough in Mitzrayim? But, Kindelach, when the Yidden were suffering in Mitzrayim, they constantly cried to Hashem. And now once they were freed and were able to breathe freely, some of the Yidden stopped davening a little bit. And Hashem said, "I wish to hear the tefillos, the prayers of the Yidden now too." That's why Hashem sent Pare to chase after the Yidden. As soon as the Yidden saw the Mitzrayim, he saw the armies right near them, and saw no way to escape. They all did teshuvah in their hearts and cried out to Hashem, begging him to help them. When Pare came to the Getchka Baal Tzifon, with a great joy he called out and said, "I decided to drown the Jews. It seems like Baal Tzifon agrees with my plan and will help me." Pare then sacrificed and offered incense to his Getchka. You can just imagine, Kindelach, how frightened the Yidden were. Dathan and Aviram and their followers came to Moshe and complained, "Why did you take us out of Egypt? We told you already in Egypt to leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been far better for us to die during the Makkah of Choshech, darkness. At least we would be buried there in a normal way. But now the Egyptians will kill us and just let our bodies lay in the heat of the day and the frost of the night." Well, Kindelach, Hashem looked at this complaint as one of the trials with which the Yidden tested Hashem in the Midbar. Now, the tzaddikim amongst the Yidden called out and said,
"Let us follow the will of Hashem with patience."
But the weaker ones split into four groups. Each one thought of a different plan what to do. The weaker ones of Shevet Reuven, Shimon, and Yisachar were so frightened that they decided that they would throw themselves into the sea rather than face the Mitzrayim. Moshe tried to calm them and said, "Do not fear. Stand still and you will yet witness Hashem's help." The weak ones of Shevet Zevulun, Binyamin, and Naphtali decided that it would be better just to give themselves up to the Mitzrayim and return back to Egypt. Moshe promised them, "You will never return to Egypt again." And the weaker ones of Shevet Yehuda and Yosef called out, "Let us go out and fight against the Egyptians." But Moshe corrected them and said, "Hashem will fight for you." The weaker ones of Shevet Dan, Gad, and Asher came up with the idea that they should run into the Egyptian camp and confuse them. "No," answered Moshe, "stay here and just drop your plan." Yes, Kindalach, Moshe was such a special leader that with just a few words, he was able to calm down hundreds of thousands of people. Moshe assured the Yidden, "Hashem will perform miracles for you while you remain silent." But, Kindalach, the Yidden were still afraid. "When will Hashem save us?" the Yidden wanted to know. And Moshe said to them, "Today still." "But we can't wait any longer." Moshe davened, and Hashem opened up the heavens. The Ruach HaKodesh rested upon the Yidden, and they suddenly saw armies and armies of Malachim coming to their side to help them. Moshe continued to daven, but Hashem said to him, "This is not the right time to daven very long. Right now my sons are in pain. You don't have to cry out to me anymore, because the tefillos of my sons have already come to me before yours, and I have accepted their tefillos. Tell the Yidden to travel on into the ocean, and I will make miracles for them." Hashem said, "The Yidden deserve that the sea should split for them, because they have so much sechusim, so much merits, their own merits, as well as the merits of their forefathers, the Avos. They deserve it because they showed their great emunah when they agreed to travel backwards towards Mitzrayim without questioning, 'How can we break the hearts of our wives and children by going back?' No, they rather listened and believed in the words of Hashem. They also deserve the miracles of Hashem because they are so great and holy, who will in the future announce, 'Zekeli ve'anvehu, this is my God and I shall glorify him.' They have the great schus of their forefathers, Avraham, who split firewood, ready to sacrifice his only son to Hashem. In return, the sea will split for them. Also, I already promised their forefather Yaakov that I would make this miracle for the Yidden when I said to him, 'Ufaratzta yama,' and you shall burst the sea." Over here, the words "Ufaratzta yama" means you shall split the sea. Also, the sea will move back for the Yidden when it sees the Arayin of Yosef being carried in front of the Yidden, because Yosef was the one who fled from Potiphar's wife. So the sea will also flee for his children. Hashem commanded Moshe to stretch out his hand over the sea, and a powerful wind from the east, from the Mizrach side, began to blow. Meanwhile, the Yidden traveled on all night, coming closer and closer to the shore of the sea. The Mitzrayim followed them, but were never able to catch up with them. They tried to shoot arrows and missiles at the Yidden, but the cloud of Hashem grabbed and swallowed up all of their missiles and arrows. Yes, this was the cloud which usually traveled in front of the Yidden by day, but that night, instead of disappearing in the dark as it usually did, it traveled behind the Yidden in order to grab all the Egyptian missiles. Hashem's Malach now also traveled behind the Yidden to protect them. Now, Kindelach, besides all of this, the cloud brought darkness upon the Mitzrayim. Yes, as you remember, the Makkah of Choshech in Mitzrayim was different than all the other Makkahs. All the Makkahs were for 7 days, but the Makkah of Choshech was only for 6 days. What's about the 7th day? Well, that Hashem reserved for now. Hashem saved that 7th day for this moment. While the Mitzrayim were traveling behind the Yidden, Hashem made it dark for them. And now the Mitzrayim were traveling in the dark, cursing and shooting arrows. The only thing that they were able to see, they saw how the Yiddish camp was lit up with a lot of light by Hashem's cloud. And they saw the Yidden eating, drinking, and praising Hashem. When the Yidden arrived at the seashore, the mighty waves rolled towards them. The waves were as high as towers, but the Yidden just continued going further. They were ready to go right into the sea, because that's what Hashem told them to do. Just then, an argument broke out as to who should have the great schus of throwing himself into the sea first. The Nasi, the leader of Shevet Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav, jumped into the waves, and following him went the whole Shevet of Binyamin. When Shevet Yehuda saw this, they were very angry. Why did Shevet Binyamin jump in after our leader? Nachshon is our leader of Shevet Yehuda. Why did the people of Shevet Binyamin jump in before us? And they began to throw stones at the families of Shevet Binyamin. Hashem said, I know that this argument between Yehuda and Binyamin was for my honor. Therefore, I'm not going to punish them. Instead, I'm going to reward them. Binyamin was rewarded of having the Beis HaMikdash built in his portion. And Shevet Yehuda was rewarded with kings. Now, Kindelach, even though the sea did not split yet, the Yidden continued on traveling into the waters of the sea, struggling against the mighty waves. The water already reached their necks. Just then was a certain Malach, the Samach Mem, tried to convince the Tsar of the sea to drown the Yidden by arguing with Hashem that the Yidden did not deserve to be saved. He argued and said to Hashem, Ribonai Shel Olam, weren't the Yidden idol worshippers in Mitzrayim? Why do they deserve miracles? Hashem answered him and said, Fool! Did they serve idols because they wanted to? It was only because they were slaves there, and they were so confused from all the work that they have done. You cannot judge actions of anyone that he did against his own will. This was because they were suffering so much. The Malach, the Tsar of the Sea, accepted these words from Hashem and directed its anger at the Egyptians instead of the Yidden, preparing to drown the Mitzrayim. Moshe stretched out his hand toward the rolling waves and commanded the sea, In Hashem's name, split! But the sea did not obey. It didn't want to change its ways that Hashem has given him at the beginning of creation. Hashem did not give the sea permission to change its ways, to become dry, to split apart. Hashem commanded Moshe to raise his rod and threaten the sea, just like a master threatens a slave who doesn't want to listen. But still, the waves continued to swell and would not move back. Then Hashem's Shekhinah appeared at the sea, and it split. Moshe asked the sea, Malacha hayam kisanus? Why, sea, did you move back now? The answer was, Milifnei adoin chuli aretz. I moved back only for the master of the world himself. The roar of the splitting waters was so loud that it was heard even in distant countries. And at that moment, not only did the Yam Suf split, but so did the waters of the lakes and wells of all countries. Even waters in people's jars split, so that everyone throughout the whole world found out about this miracle that Hashem is doing for the Yidden. And the waters all around the world did not go back to its regular place only after the water of the Yam Suf went back to its place. As the Yidden walked in the bottom of the sea, they noticed that the ground under their feet was slushy. Yes, Hashem wanted to test the Yidden. Some of the Yidden of Shevet Reuven called out to those of Shevet Shimon and said, After having left the mud of Mitzrayim, we again find ourselves in the mud. Hashem considered these words as a trial, testing Hashem. Hashem said, They went against me at the Yam Suf, but I shall still save them in order that my name should be known throughout the world. Hashem, in his mercy, dried the mud, and the ground became hard. As the Yidden were walking through the sea, Malach Gavriel stood at their side, protecting them like a wall. He called out to the water on the right, Guard the Yidden, who will in the future receive Hashem's Torah from his right hand. And he called out to the water on their left and said, Do not harm these people, who will in the future put on tefillin on their left arms. Now, Kindelach, our Chachamim tell us that when the Yidden crossed the Yam Suf, Hashem made for them many different miracles. First of all, the water split. Number two, it formed like a roof protection above their heads. Number three, the water was split into 12 separate passageways, one for each shevet. Number four, the ground was perfectly dry under the yidden. Number five, it was like clay under the feet of the Egyptians. This was Mida Keneged Mida, a measure for a measure to punish the Mitzrayim for making the Yidden slaves. They should work so hard building houses and buildings for them with clay. Number six, the water became as hard as rock, harming the Egyptians who were chasing the Yidden. Number seven, the hard water now formed beautiful decorations, beautiful walls. Number eight, these walls were clear. You can see right through them. Yes, each Shevet was able to see the other Shevet crossing along with them. This made them feel more safe. Number nine, if a Yid, while crossing the Yam Suf, became thirsty, all he had to do was to just stretch out his hand, and the wall melted, giving sweet drinking water. Number 10, as soon as he finished drinking, the wall became hard again, just like before. Our Chachamim go on and on to tell us of many, many other miracles that happened there. The Mitzrayim kept on chasing the Yidden. And guess what happened? They were chasing the Yidden until they also entered the bed of the sea. And when all the Mitzrayim were already in the bed of the sea, Hashem commanded Moshe to stretch out his hand so that the water should once again flow to drown the Mitzrayim. But the Tsar of Mitzrayim threw himself before Hashem and begged, "Ribono shel Olam, you created this world with mercy. Please save the Mitzrayim." Hashem commanded that the Tsarim of all the nations of the world should form a court in heaven to decide whether or not the Mitzrayim deserve to be destroyed.